So the thing that you have to remember going into this story is that it happened 2 years before the movie The Exorcist came out. And when I was in high school, I learned how to hypnotize people. And I'm leaning much too close to the microphone.
So can you pull it up a little bit?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Is there a chiropractor in the house? So while in high school, learning how to hypnotize was kind of fun. And as I got to my late teens and early 20s, I had a really close friend in Annapolis, where I live. A lot of spooky stories in Annapolis. And he came to me and said, you know, can you help me improve my guitar playing and singing? Because that's what he did. I said, well, no. So, but let's try. Fine. So I had been able to hypnotize him a number of times so that with a series of numbers, I could quickly put him into trance. And with another series of numbers, I could bring him back up again. Very easy, right? So we're playing around one night, and we've done our little practice with the guitar thing. And I said, okay, what if I just put you someplace here in Annapolis? I don't know. I said, well, okay, how about, and I don't remember the building, may have been the Chase Lloyd home, which is, well, if you're from Annapolis, you know where it is. And you know the one wing to the right is supposedly haunted. So, bing, he's there. And out of this nice Jewish boy, who is a friend of mine, comes this Irish brogue accent, which I know him to be incapable of doing. And, you know, and I can't do it. I sound like, you know, Lucky Charms if I'll try to do that this evening. So I don't think I'll try. But anyway, I may get brave. Anyway, so he and I talk, and he's a ship's carpenter from the Revolutionary War period. And he tells me a bit about his life, and it's not been easy, and, you know, it's he's out. And I'm like, all right, fine, let me wrap this up. So I used three numbers to bring him back, and he comes back, and we're going like, wow, what the heck was that? I don't know. That was pretty cool, though, right? So time passes, maybe a week or so, and about a half a dozen people end up at my place one night after, if you are old Annapolis, you remember a place called the Toadstool. If you weren't, then it means nothing to you. Anyway, so this was post-Toadstool, and we're telling him about this thing that we've done, and you know, my friends are like, yeah, do it, let's see the guy. And I look at my friend and he goes, all right, fine. So three numbers, he's down, and out comes the Irishman, you know. And I'm like, okay, he's here. And only this time, in about a minute or so, he says something which catches my ear, which is something like, it feels so good to be out. I don't know if I want to go back. And I'm like, nobody else really picked up on that. They're all just like, well, guys, you know, Jewish guys talk with an Irish accent. And I said, well, yeah, it's time to wrap this up. So I said, all right, three numbers, bring him back up. And he's up. Is he? And he's sitting across from me in a chair, and I look at him, and I've known this guy for 7 years. And I'm like, you're not back, are you? Yes, I am. No, you're not. On my left, his right, one of the folks who was there, this woman is one of our contemporaries. She is combination of Earth Mother, feminist Lysistrata, all wrapped up into one. Just, you know, balls. So my friend with the Irish accent, the Jewish guy, he says, no, I'm fine. Here, take my hand. And he reaches out his hand to her. And she takes it. And she says, actually, it was her left hand. She said, I felt something run right up into my arm and into my chest. I saw her break out in tears. And I said, that's not right. And I look around the room, and one of my other friends is there. And Jenny is a practicing Catholic. Now, I went to Catholic school for a couple of years, but basically I'm a failed Episcopalian, and which is a junior varsity Catholic. You know, only we drink more. And and we do the Stations of the Cross, which has bells. So I say to Jenny, Jenny, do you have your rosary with you? May I borrow it? Remember, this is 2 years before the movie The Exorcist ever hit the screen. I don't know where this came to me from, but it did. So I took it, and I went over to my friend with the balls. And I put it on her sternum. And she describes the experience as feeling as though something rose right up through her head and out of her body. And I'm like, well, that's good. And then I go back to him. And I say, so, okay, we need to deal with you. He's in trance now. And I said, you need to learn that you can't do this stuff to people. So you take my hand, and you try to come up my arm into my body, because you can't do it, because I have you hypnotized. And you can try as hard and as long as you want. It's not going to happen. But I want you to do it because you need to know you can't. And he reached up slowly and he took my hand. This is the part where hair stands up on my arms. And he began to try, and I could see it in his face, and his body shook, his hand shook, his arm shook. And I said, do it, because you can't do it. You need to know you cannot do this. I went on for about a minute, maybe. And then I went with the crucifix, and I put it on his sternum, which he did not like at all. And he moved around a lot and twitched and grimaced, and then finally released. And if there are any clinical hypnosis folks in the audience tonight, I'm sorry if I rained on your parade. There's a definite good place in medicine for clinical hypnosis. I haven't hypnotized anybody since then. And although I read a book about it recently, I don't know if I really want to take it up. But if I do, I know what not to do. Thank you for your kind attention.